Easter is a celebration declaring an empty tomb and not empty promises. Now, to gain a deeper grasp of this time, let's venture back to the first Easter Sunday morning nearly 2,000 years ago. That morning, before anyone had visited Jesus' tomb, the disciples of Jesus were undoubtedly waking up in a cold sweat, remembering the horror of what had happened on Friday. So let's hear the story from the disciples' point of view.
My friend, my teacher, the person who I gave everything to follow, is dead.
He was crucified like a common criminal. If only I could have done something.
If only the crowd had let him go, instead of that murderer, Barabbas.
The disciples, they tried. They shouted,
"Let Jesus go!
He has done nothing wrong.
But they had been drowned out by the screams of the crowd who yelled,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
I watched as he was beaten and had a crown of thorns pushed into his brow.
I watched as he was forced to carry that heavy wood of his cross to the Golgotha.
I watched as the soldiers nailed his hands and feet to the cross and raised it up.
All of the disciples, both men and women, cried as they watched his last hours of pain and suffering until he shouted,
"It is finished,"
and breathed his last breath.
As he died, it felt like something inside of me died as well.
My dreams were shattered.
My hope turned into fear.
My purpose now seemed purposeless.
Everything was gone.
For 3 years, these men and women had been his disciples. How the days must have flown by, seeming like only yesterday when he had asked them to follow him and become a fisher of men.
I had listened to his every word as he spoke to us and as he spoke to crowds of people throughout the region.
Although, to be honest, there were times when I really didn't understand what he was saying, and I was always pleased that he took time to explain his words to us.
All he had asked was that we believe, and oh, we had believed. We had seen the impossible.
I saw blind men see, and lame men walk.
I saw Lazarus, a dead friend of ours, live again.
We believed with all of our hearts, but not anymore. After what we witnessed on the cross, our belief was as dead as our master.
Undoubtedly, these faithful men and women had difficulty sleeping after the day of crucifixion. Undoubtedly, they thought about their times with Jesus, wondering about their past, wondering about their present, and wondering what would their future hold. They probably did feel that there was nothing left, that they should return to their beginnings, to their respective homes, and start all over again. They probably did think that their hopes were dead and their dreams were gone. After all, they had witnessed Jesus captured, beaten, crucified, dead, and buried. But then, they heard a shout from outside.
He's alive! The tomb is empty! Jesus is alive! He has risen from the grave!
What? Can it be?
Suddenly our hearts were filled with fresh hope.
I rushed out to discover what the women had seen.
I saw empty grave clothes inside the tomb.
I saw Jesus.
Jesus isn't dead.
Jesus is alive.
Jesus was alive, and everything was going to be just as it was before. They thought at first. Imagine if you'd been his disciple that morning. Instead of mourning his death, you were celebrating his resurrection. You were celebrating Jesus being alive. Instead of experiencing the crushing grief of Jesus' death, there is joy, exhilaration, and peace. Your focus quickly changes. It is not on death, it's on life. Jesus is alive and the tomb is empty. Now there is purpose, there's a future, there is hope.
If Jesus' story had ended at the cross, hope would have died with him. But hope did not die. Without the resurrection, being a follower of Jesus would have been pointless. That is why the resurrection is central to the Christian faith. The miracle of the resurrection really happened. Countless witnesses attest to his presence after his death. Witnesses that are historically written. For example, we know for a fact that over 500 met with Jesus in Galilee alone after his death.
When we look back on the events of that first Easter, we are looking at more than events in history. The events of Easter changed history. Furthermore, the events of Easter changed our destiny. We attest to a written Savior. Jesus defeated death. Death could not contain him.
Sin and its effects were defeated.
Sin no longer has a grip on us.
This is our certain hope. Just as Jesus was raised and restored, we will be raised and restored too.
It was once said, the cross shows the seriousness of our sin, but it also shows us the immeasurable love of God. And why and how do we know this to be true? Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to set the captives free. He came to break the power of sin in our lives.
Jesus came to bear the punishment of our sin.
Jesus came to die on the cross in our place.
Jesus was raised from the dead so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could believe.
So that we could repent and be born again.
So that we could be assured of eternal life in a place in heaven with God the Father for all eternity.
And all we have to do is to reach out and accept it. Jesus overcame the grave. He's still alive and available for us to personally encounter.
He's alive.
Jesus is alive.
The tomb is empty.
He has risen from the grave.
The four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record the events of that amazing day. Each speaks from his own point of view. And yet, there are no contradictions. The accounts all blend into one beautiful narrative. Let us listen to John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said,
"They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
When Peter came, he went straight into the tomb, and then John followed him. They saw the linen cloths lying together and the cloth that had been wrapped around the head of Jesus rolled up in a place all by itself. After Peter and John had left, Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb a second time. It was then that she saw Jesus and spoke to him.
This was the first post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. From then on, events happened quickly. Mid-afternoon the same day, Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. Then an estimated hour or two later, Jesus was with two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, who were on their way to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, the two men were discussing what had happened. Jesus himself suddenly appeared and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus said to them,
"What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?"
They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied,
"You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard all about the things that have happened there the last few days."
"What things?"
"The things that happened to Jesus. Jesus from Nazareth.
He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and of all the people."
These two disciples shared how their leading priests and other religious figures handed Jesus over and crucified him, not realizing that they were talking to Jesus himself. They went on to explain how that some of the disciples, not believing the women, ran out to see for themselves. And sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Is it any wonder that Jesus said to the men on the Emmaus Road,
"Do you truly find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?"
After Jesus spoke of the writings of Moses and all the prophets concerning himself, Jesus took leave of them, and the disciples stated,
"Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us?
Especially on the road when he explained the scriptures to us."
And isn't that the realization that we should have today as we read God's word? Does not God's spirit burn within us, highlighting passages that are needed for assurance and for hope, for conviction and for truth? But let us return to the resurrection story, because there's still more to tell.
It was within the hour, as we fellow believers on the Emmaus Road were on the way back to Jerusalem, when we met and were surrounded by our friends. They all exclaimed the same message:
"The Lord has really risen.
He appeared to Peter."
That was late evening. Jesus appeared to us at the time, all except Thomas. But a week later, Jesus appeared to us again, this time including Thomas.
What a day. What a week.
First, he's dead. His body has gone. And the angels say he has risen.
Then Mary sees him. Then Peter.
Then Cleopas and his friends not only see him, they speak to him and even invite him home for dinner.
The excitement was like lightning. The disciples couldn't stop shouting and sharing their joy.
He's alive. The tomb is empty.
Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave.
That first Easter Sunday was certainly unlike any other day, a day that will never be forgotten. The fears of the disciples were dispelled. They became men of joy and boldness and dynamic energy. They experienced for themselves proof that Jesus was alive. From that time to the present day, The message of the resurrected Jesus has been proclaimed. His resurrection power is available to us today.
Friends, we have seen and we have believed, not with the eyes of flesh as the disciples, but with the eyes of faith. Faith brings dynamic power. It was in the power of the risen Jesus that the early Christians went out to change the world, and we are called to do the same. Let us always remember, and let us always share the good news that on Easter morning and every morning that we celebrate, an empty tomb and not empty promises. God stands true to all of his promises. He is risen. Hallelujah.